Vacation Bible School. It was a great time of growth, amen. And our topic was the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we had an awesome study together. Well, today we are going to focus on some fruits briefly, but I want to mainly focus more on some practical application stuff, amen. For a more in-depth study of the fruits of the Spirit, I want to invite everybody to come on out Wednesdays for the month of August, when we're going to be doing a study on the fruits each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And I guarantee an awesome time in growing in your knowledge of the fruits of the Spirit for your life. And if enough people sign up, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. We will also offer the Fruits of the Spirit study on Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock as well. Amen. Well, you've all seen the milk promotion commercial on billboards and on the TV that have some famous person, and they've got this residue of milk that comes across the top of their mouth. And the caption reads, "Got milk." All right. Well, if you are a child of God, you got fruit. Amen. Amen. And you are bearing forth spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So henceforth, the title of our message for today is what?
Got fruit.
Got fruit. Touch your neighbor and ask him. Got fruit? Got fruit? Hallelujah. Got fruit? But first, let us pray. We praise you, Lord God Almighty. We ask that you would speak into our hearts, minds, and lives this day as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word, that we may respond with, yes, Lord, yes, resulting in much evidence of spiritual fruit in, through, and all over us. And we ask it ahead of time in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen. 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 If you would, take out your sermon note sheet, which is found in your order of service. Today we are talking about fruit. Fruit that are never out of season. Would you high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, fruit are never out of season. Spiritual fruit is never out of season. It's never out of season. Amen. Now, you probably already have memorized this, as some of us did this past Vacation Bible School. But together, I want us to once again read Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. Now, saints, the fruits of the Spirit are the measure, if you will, of your walk with God and the impact that you are allowing Jesus Christ to have in your life. So, if you are not exhibiting the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you are not walking with Jesus. You're not walking as Jesus would have you walk. Amen. And your relationship with Jesus is less than it should be. Well, the first thing that leaps out here in Galatians 5, 19 through 25 is the contrast between that which Paul lists as being the fruit of the Spirit and that which Paul lists as being the fruit of the flesh. Now, saints, the fruits of the flesh, Paul describes as the acts of the sinful nature. And they are just that. They are actions. They are behaviors. They are things that we do. All right, now the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, they are character traits. Everybody say character traits. Character traits. And character traits are always a being that will manifest themselves in behavior consistent with the life of the Spirit. Now, saints, it's important to note here that the transformation is first internal. Everybody say internal. Internal. Does the behavior change? Yes, the behavior changes, but it is the inner person that changes first, and then the behavior changes as a result of that inner change. We sing Jesus on the
inside,
working on the
outside.
Oh, what a
change
in my life. Hallelujah. And saints, it is this internal change that we're really interested in. You see, a life of external purity in itself, the law, just following the law, will only lead to frustration because we cannot maintain a facade forever. Amen. But a life rooted in faith in Jesus will lead us to a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Everybody say fruit. Fruit. Well, the definition of fruit in the Vine's Expository Dictionary, it says fruit as being the evidence of something from within. The evidence of something from within. If you would look at your sermon note sheet, you can see Ephesians 4:30 tells us that the believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we're admonished to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, to be filled with the Spirit as one is drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18 tells us that, and to yield ourselves to the Spirit's leadership, Romans 8:14, as the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, convicting of sin and righteousness while testifying of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, dear friend, if you are a child of God, you are going to bear forth fruit. Amen. Well, if you are walking in the Spirit, you are by definition growing in godliness. You're growing in holiness. You're growing in righteousness. Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, the Word of God tells us to walk in truth, to walk after God's commandments, to walk in the light, to walk as children of the light, to walk by faith, to walk in the newness of life, among many others. To walk means to live, to carry on, to conduct ourselves. It means to be believers, not just in what we say saints, but in how we behave. Walking means our whole lives. Everybody say whole lives. Our whole lives being pleasing unto God. Hallelujah. Saints, let's just take a moment and watch this video clip together.
Hey, dude, what you doing on Saturday?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess.
Cool, because Josh's parents are out of town, and he's throwing this sick party with college girls, man. College girls. It's going to be awesome. You're going, right?
The Holy Spirit, invisible to the unbelieving world.
No, man. Thanks anyways.
Convicting the world of sin and righteousness.
You guys think that's dirty? Listen to this one. An old prospector walks into a bar. I gotta go.
The Spirit reminds us of all of Jesus' teachings.
I just don't get this verse. Oh.
Jesus said of the Spirit, he will testify about me.
Because the Bible says, I'm the vine and you are the... Oh man, what is it? The branches.
Oh, okay.
A faithful guide, steering us through difficult decisions.
It's the answers. No thanks.
The Spirit walks with us through good times and bad.
So you're a Christian?
Yeah.
But that's only because you grew up in a Christian home.
Actually, it's because I've seen firsthand what he's done in my life. Not only that, but the Bible has more evidence to support it than any other ancient document.
I didn't know that.
Me either.
The Hebrew word used to describe the Holy Spirit meant one who comes alongside.
Mr. Jones.
Aspen.
Encouraging us. And providing us with wise counsel, the Holy Spirit, walking with you day by day.
Praise God for the Holy Spirit, amen, to help us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, saints, the enemy likes you better carnal. The enemy likes you better worldly. You see, Satan likes that you do things that are all about. about you. You know, things that make you happy are just convenient for you. Nobody else but for you. Satan doesn't care if you go to church so long as he can distract you once you get here. Satan doesn't care if you read your Bible so long as you don't try to act on it. He doesn't care that you do nice things for others so long as you don't do it out of love. Now, saints, both in our passage for today and in this video, I think they both can be summarized as the fact of Christian conflict and the way of Christian victory. The fact of Christian conflict. You see in verses 16 and 17, there's a conflict going on within each and every Christian as we do our daily walk, starting in the morning. There's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit going on. And Paul says that if we walk by the spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. But what is the flesh? The flesh, saints, is what we are. It's our natural condition. It's our nature. And we see then in verses 19 and 20, and you can look on your note sheet, Paul lists, and now this is not an exhaustive list, but he lists the works of the flesh. And they fall into four broad areas: sexual, social, religious, and alcohol. Now Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Let's quickly read that. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Saints, in Ephesians 5:15, Paul told us to live as those who are wise, making the most of our times because the days are evil. Now, Paul didn't say that all of our days are filled with evil. Yes, we've got the adversary around. He said, so make the most of your time because the days are evil. There are difficulties, and it's up to us to wisely walk through those days. How many here today wish that the days weren't evil? That we didn't have to go through difficulties and depression and setbacks and diseases, that we didn't have to be discouraged, that we didn't have to feel fear in our lives, we didn't have to go through disputes. Don't you wish that we already could have the kingdom of God right here on earth right now, that we wouldn't have to suffer through any more pain in our lives? Well, saints, just get used to the idea that pain is part of the deal, because it is. It is like exercising. No pain, no gain. Amen. Now, if you right now go over there to Bally's Fitness Center, in a few minutes, you're going to figure something quickly out. There are at least three different things going on in the gym. Over here, you will see this group of people, and they are high-impact exercisers. I mean, they are just going to town. You can't even go over there and ask them what time it is because they aren't going to answer you. In fact, they're not even going to look at you because they're just going to keep on doing that high-impact exercising. They are going to just not let anything break their focus. And then you look over here at this group of people. They are the medium-impact folks. They're on those treadmills, and they're going, you can ask them, what time is it? And they'll say, 11. And then they'll just keep going. All right, because they're working up a sweat and they're really getting their heart rate up, but they're not quite as serious as those high-impact folks. Then you look over here, and there's the low-impact folks. All right, now these, they're on the treadmill, and some of them are reading and talking and watching the TV, but they're on the treadmill. They're going. You know, so they are just there because they don't want to feel guilty when they go home to eat their greens and cornbread and mashed potatoes and sweet potato pie. So they, you know, they're going to be in shape, you know, but they aren't as serious as the medium or the high impact. Well, saints, likewise in our Christian walk, we can choose to be a low impact Christian. We can choose to be a medium impact Christian, or we can choose to be a high impact Christian. Hallelujah. And Paul in our text is calling God's people to choose to be high impact. For truly, saints, as a high impact Christian, we are strategically God positioned to change the world around us. Hallelujah. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God and to be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. High five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, it's time to press on. It is time to press on. It is time to press on. Every one of us needs to get used to the idea that this is what the Christian life is all about. Each of us needs to be pressing on. We need to be pushing on. We need to be pursuing the fullness of the kingdom of God with high impact, with the full measure of strong faith, violently opposing the devil. Now, saints, it's time to press on. It's time to become militant. Amen. It's time to remind yourself that the devil is not as strong as God is. He may be referred to the Antichrist, but that's not because he's equal to Jesus Christ. He's just anti. He's just against Christ, all right? Now, is the devil omniscient, all-knowing? No, no, he is not. He'd like you to think that he is, and he definitely like you to be afraid that he is. But the devil is not all-knowing. Is the devil omnipresent? No. Everywhere at once? No. He especially is absent wherever God's people are worshiping in spirit and in truth. His forces are spread pretty thin all over the world. He doesn't have reinforcements to count on. He can't cover all of the bases. He is not everywhere at once. Is the devil all-powerful, omnipotent? No, he isn't, but he likes for us to think that he is. I will tell you what the devil is. The devil is a liar. That's what the devil is. The devil is a liar. And scripture tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. So, folks, you can't walk in the spirit and do what you've always done. You can't walk and stay in the same place at the same time. Amen. Now listen, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you always had. Amen. And doing what you've always done is what got you into trouble in the first place. Amen. So, saints, touch your neighbor. Amen. And say, neighbor, do something different. Just do something different. Do something different. Do something different. Read through your Bible daily. Daily have your times with the Lord. Come out to Married Sensation. Come to Life Sharing. Come to Sisters in the Lord. Come to Men Who Excel. Do something different. Volunteer to serve in a ministry. Do something. Rise up. You can't walk in the Spirit never going somewhere new, because the Spirit will take you somewhere new, my friend. Oh, yes. Yes, saints, walking in the Spirit, keeping in touch with God all day long, you can hear God when God speaks. Oh, praise God. It doesn't come easy. You've got to work at it. You've got to work at hearing that still small voice. And once you start, it's still not going to be easy. You got to keep on working at it. But that doesn't make it not worth it. Praise your name, Lord. Saints, walking in the Spirit is better than doing your own thing. Walking in the Spirit is better than doing my own thing. Hallelujah. Because you see, God loves us so very much that God wants the best for you. Tell your neighbor, God wants the best for you. God wants the best for you. Amen. That's why God tells couples, young and old, to wait until marriage. Because God wants the best for you. That's why God tells us to be careful what we soak in through our eyes. Because God wants the best for you. That's why God tells us to avoid things that will hurt us. Because God loves you. That's why God tells us to forgive those who hurt us. It's not that God's trying to make life hard for us. It's because God loves us so very much. Hallelujah. Now, saints, briefly, let's glance at a few of these godly character fruits that the Lord wants to manifest in our lives. If you look at your note sheet, verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, these fruits are so intertwined, they're so interlocked, they so overlap each other. The first fruit, love. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us exactly what it is. Love is patient. Patience is another fruit, amen. Love is kind. Kindness is another fruit. So these fruits interlock, they intertwine. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. So Scripture tells us, make love your aim. That is a fruit that needs to be evident. Saints, as you can see, the fruit love, it includes many elements like patience. Because looking at a patient person, you see a patient person doesn't quit. He or she trusts, Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Hallelujah. Love, they're patient. Love also includes kindness, all right, which is a lot deeper than just being nice, okay? The old King James word for it is loving kindness, which is often translated as everlasting love or steadfast love. You see, kind people aren't mean and rude, and they don't waste their energy being offended. And as we sing, yes, they will know that we are Christians by what? By our love, the fruit of love. Then look at those other fruits. I want to put peace and joy, gentleness, patience, goodness, self-control. I believe they're kind of all bundled together, where Paul puts them together to me in Philippians 4 when he's writing to the Philippian church. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That's joy. Let your gentleness, that's another fruit, be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that's another fruit, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of love, the God of joy, kindness, gentleness, and self-control will be with you. Hallelujah. Now, saints, the last fruit that I want to comment on is the fruit of faithfulness. And faithfulness is just loyalty. Faithfulness is being full of faith, being rock solid. Dear saints, may I submit to you today that it matters to the Lord how we use what God has given us. God wants us to be faithful with it. We are not playing a game, saints. What we are doing in serving the Lord is of dire importance. Whatever you have, and God has given all of us something, whatever you have, God expects for you to produce with it and to do with it faithfully with joy and patience and kindness. God wants you to be faithful to what you have been called to do and to be. Faithful where God has called you. Today I want to ask, are you a choir member? Are you an usher? Are you a greeter? Are you a praise team leader? Are you a band member? Well, saints, God wants you to be faithful. God wants us to be faithful to practice. God wants us to be faithful to our church. God wants us to be faithful to our pastors. You are obligated to God and to others to do all things well. That's what we signed up for. You know what? And we can do it with a smile. Everybody just smile right now. Just smile. We can do it with a smile. While we are dancing, while we are greeting, while we are ushering, while we are singing, even if we don't have the lead part, even if we don't have the solo, we can smile. Because someone here is going through a divorce. That's why we can smile when we're doing our ministry. Because someone here has just heard her husband say, I don't love you anymore. That's why we can smile. We can smile because someone has lost her baby. Because someone has lost their job. And someone else has gone bankrupt. And it may be your smile, my friend, your glowing face as you minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. that will send a message of love right straight to that person's heart, that they might be healed of the bleeding in their heart. You know what? We can stick to a commitment whether it's fun or not. Now, you may have shoes on that you shouldn't have put on, and you knew you were ushering. And it might just like, oh, I'm in so much pain. But you smile anyhow. Because there's someone here who has a bleeding heart. And you don't know which ones of us today are bleeding. But some of us right now are bleeding. And your smile may be that one to heal someone else's bleeding heart. Faithfulness, the fruit, needs to be evident in our lives. And with a smile, remembering that grumpy is one of the seven dwarfs, not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Too many of us Christians were walking around as if someone injected us with prune juice. Even when we're talking about how good God is, we're looking mad. Saints, I believe that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, that you should get a spring in your step that wasn't there before. There should be something different about you. People should notice a change about you when Jesus comes into your life. You have a redeemed character. You're a brand spanking new creation. Hallelujah. High five the person next to you and say, I'm a brand spanking new creation. Brand spanking new. Hallelujah. Saints, the Spirit of God is changing all of us all the time. God is on the inside doing that working, doing that transforming. Because God wants us to be like Jesus. And we should want to be more like Jesus. And God wants us to be able to walk and stand in the strongest faith and in the fullest confidence, blooming and blossoming with fruit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let us pray. We bless you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that we'll never arrive at the final stage of maturity while we're on this earth. Yet we know you who have begun a good work are going to bring it to completion on that day of Jesus Christ. And belonging to you means that we are always growing into your likeness, always learning, always improving. And truly, the rewards are rich. You want to give us your authority, your power, and your boldness. You want us to be able to do everything with excellence, to be vessels that you can work mightily through for your glory and to bring others unto yourself. And Lord, we know we get there by going there. And that fruit development is a process. So as we walk with you, Lord Jesus, we know we will become more and more and more capable of reflecting your image to others. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your beautiful fruit. Oh, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in us, that we might more and more become like Jesus Christ our Lord. So today we say, make it so, Lord. Make it so that our walk with Jesus Christ will continue to transform us into the persons that you desire for us to be, whose God-given individuality and talents are fully integrated with the fruit of the Holy Spirit and with godly qualities of character. And so today we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your awesome love and faithfulness unto us. And it's in your mighty name we pray. And all God.